Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out of the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Blunt Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C. Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Bomb.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Randy Rand.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records revealing that each of the rappers are coming, looking to put on. We need the platform to fight the mainstream. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with Wizards.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics and shadow design. Check out the archives and lunch with the shows. Plenty of content for you to do. Everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real.
We got
the gold,
we
beat,
we fight our bitch, we represent. All them chillers on the mic, and we show love to all you fans. Baby, keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm, come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's UGS for life, dog. Hip-hop, AD, representing for them legends. Rapping, mumble, rapper, solo, me, sitting on the hip. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder, master, music, show. Free the homie, gangsta, bro. I see these rappers on these streets, I got my chopper about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
What's going on, everybody? This is episode 519. And man, just about literally 6 years. And some change to the day we had episode one, and our guest was our guest that's going to be on the show tonight, the one and only Kay Reno. And I'm hella proud to know this cat, because what he brings to the game is so much more than just music. He brings, you know what I'm saying, life lessons that you can learn, substance, knowledge, on all different levels, all different subjects and topics, you know, people trying to better themselves, individuals trying to better themselves. I mean, he embodies all that in his music. And on top of that, he's one of the most talented guys there is, you know what I'm saying, hands down. So it's a huge honor to know Kay Reno. It's good to see him steadily putting out product. I mean, 2016 in November, he dropped 7 albums on one day, which is a thing that no one's ever done. You know what I'm saying? Last year, you know, he dropped 2 dope projects with, you know, collaboration albums. He dropped one with the homie DLP, and then he dropped another one with the homie Drastico, you know what I'm saying? And then, of course, you know, in between all that, the guy, you know, he's in H-Town helping, you know, the citizens and residents of H-Town, like with the flood, you know, doing drives to get people to donate and help, and just an outstanding member of his community, man. And, you know, overall good. If you were to look up to a rapper, this is the guy, because, you know what I'm saying, what he stands for and what he represents is, you know what I'm saying, so much better than what a lot of these rappers stand for and represent. And, you know, let's be real. A lot of these guys, man, nowadays, all they want to talk about is popping pills, you know what I'm saying, just straight-up destructive lifestyles and things of that nature. And, you know, somebody like Kay will offer you music that, you know, is an alternative to that bullshit you hear on the radio. But he's got a new album out, Mightier Than the Sword. Actually, it's coming out real soon. I think you can go get it right now at southparkcoalition.net and pre-order it, if I'm not mistaken. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's not all he's doing. You know, he also has a new radio show, Kay Reno Radio, man. He's interviewed, you know, legendary artists like Scarface and Willie D. You know what I'm saying? And I think he does that every Friday. You know, we're going to chop it up with him. But he just sent me a couple bangers off this new project, Mightier Than the Sword. I'm going to go off into one of those here in just a second. And then You know what I'm saying? We're gonna chop it up with Kay here soon. But again, this project, you know what I'm saying, this is the first one he's done since he dropped the Big Seven, you know, which to me is still a huge deal as far as not just hip-hop but music. What other artist in any genre of music drops seven albums on one day? I mean, that's insanity, you know what I'm saying? And really, the only guy I think that could outdo K. Reno is K. Reno. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's how good he is. You know, truly one of the best and definitely one of the most slept on, you know what I'm saying? But not over here. You know, over here, we're definitely going to represent for the homie. You know what I'm saying? His latest project, Mightier Than the Sword, that's going to be available here in just a couple weeks. You know what I'm saying? We're going to give you this first track right here. It's called Need to Know. And then, you know, we should be chopping up with Kay soon. So don't go nowhere.
Here we go again. How many people you know that's really like? How many people you know that's really like this? Real friends. I live by the code of daily energy reload. It's hard to trust people, so I stay in only me mode. A grown person should never be a beggar or freeload. Find me. Don't expect nonsense responses. Don't ask me my opinion if you can't handle the content. People have their minds already made when things hit them. They just ask you for advice to see if you agree with them. How can I make you better if I'm being fake to you? The best type of friend you could have is a straight shooter. Be open to a true, honest character diagnosis, because others see about you that you don't notice. Just take it on the chin when they check you about your dealings. As long as what they're saying is real, stay out your feelings. Don't label them a hater, cause they doing you a favor. And even if it's painful, you'll thank them for it later. I'ma tell you what you need to know, not what you wanna hear. It's on you if you deny the facts when they come and clear. Running from truth is a way to move. The hardest person that you'll ever have to face is you. I'ma tell you what you need to know, not what you wanna hear. It's on you if you deny the facts when they come and clear. Running from truth is a wasteful move. The hardest person that you ever have to face is you. Some people won't ever change, so let them be that way. You got your hands on a brick trying to mold it like it was clay, but it's still hope for others. Stay on them cause it ain't over yet. Hold the net cause homies be slipping like the floor was wet. Life don't always wanna accommodate. It's like getting caught by every red light when you running late. They need you to keep it real, but you act all soft. What kind of friend would sit and watch another friend fall off at night? You need to try to talk them through the condition. I know you're thinking I can't force a grown person to listen, and that's a fact. But you don't have to give so hard, cause once you tell them what's right, man, you done did your job. You've been in over backwards like an acrobat. But all that you can do is pray for them after that. Sometimes the conversation gets uncomfortable and heated. It's hard to help somebody when they don't think that they need it. Yeah, I'ma tell you what you need to know, not what you wanna hear. It's on you if you deny the facts when they come and clear. Running from truth is a way to move. The hardest person that you'll ever have to face is you. I'ma tell you what you need to know, not what you wanna hear. It's on you if you deny the facts when they come and clear. Running from truth is a way to move. The hardest person that you'll ever have to face is you. Don't treat me like I invented the problem. Love don't always come in the form of grinning and smiling. Talking down and critiquing, that's a hell of a difference. Sometimes you gotta sit a person down and tell them they tripping. It don't matter who it is, check them when they ain't right. If we can't be honest with each other, we really ain't tight. From a grown man all the way back to my youth, I respected any man who ever told me the truth. If I recognize your issues, don't pull you first. When somebody else tells you, it could be worse. Sugarcoating is a weak move, being real, that's tough. You might have to get broken down to build back up. And if you need to, you hating me, I'll pay that price. It's worth it, cause what I say to you might save your life. I don't judge your circumstances, my love come free. If I don't try to tell you something, then that blood's on me.
I'ma tell you what you need to know, not what you wanna hear. It's on you if you deny the facts when they come in clear. Running from truth is a way to move. The hardest person that you'll ever have to face is you. I'ma tell you what you need to know, not what you wanna hear. It's on you if you deny the facts when they come in clear. Running from truth is a way to move. The hardest person that you'll ever have to face is you.
Real friends don't bend. Real women, real men.
You guys are literally hearing that the same as I am for the first time. I mean, I just got that dope track just a few minutes ago, and man, let's bring on the man that made that, man. Let's talk to him. What's up, Kay?
What's going on, my brother, man? Good to hear from you. Good to hear your voice, man. How y'all feeling?
Man, likewise, Kay, man. I'm doing good, man, and you know, I see you got this Mighty and the Sword project. Man, when's it dropping so the folks can go cop this? I want to make sure they get this.
Well, they can actually start the process. They can pre-order now. They can just go to the website, which is southparkcoalition.net, and just click music store, and they can pre-order it now. We'll start shipping in about 2 weeks. So around two weeks from now, people will start receiving them in the mail. And around that same time, you'll be able to go on iTunes and all the other digital platforms and get it. But you can order your physical copies right now from the website.
Man, there's so much dope music dropping this year that's like, you know what I'm saying? I know Nip is dropping here in a few. You're dropping. Cat just dropped a dope project, Diamond Dre, not too long ago. You guys steadily keep building on to this immense catalog, man. I ask you this every time you come on, what album is this? Because I always forget.
I think I stopped counting, man. probably before the Big Seven, I stopped counting because I don't know, man. I don't know. I think it's best to just do the music and just you know, let the numbers speak for themselves. Whenever that time comes, I may sit down and just go back over and count and figure out. But it's over 40, though. It's over 40.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. Now, this, you know, last year, you know, you did the two dope projects, one with Trashico and one with the homie DLP, you know what I'm saying? And then this year, you know, you got the Mightier Than the Sword, you know. But on top of all the stuff you do, you know what I'm saying, musically, you just launched a YouTube channel. I want to talk about that, and I also want to talk about your radio show, but let's go to your YouTube channel first, since it's new and fresh, to get people to go over there and subscribe. Let everybody know where they can go check that out.
Yeah, man, my YouTube channel is The Real K Reno, and just spelled just like that, just The Real K Reno, and you'll be able to go on there and just check out really anything that I got going, because I'm not restricting it to just songs or whatever. I'm going to be doing a little bit of everything. I'm going to be doing a little vlogging and all that, man. So you'll see all kinds of things going on my channel. I mean, just different sides of me, my personality that people may not be aware of, and just everyday stuff I'm doing here and there, man, because people have a perception of you, but until they just kind of, can you kind of let them in and see what you really, how you really are, then it's only guesswork.
So this is a way for you to kind of, you know, more one-on-one time with your fans, you know what I'm saying, from all over the world, and YouTube's a great platform to do that, you know what I'm saying? That's dope. So you're going to do, like, various topics and discussions and things of that nature?
Yeah, man, I think the first video I did was, I used to do this thing called the Rap Tips of the Week back in the days. And I brought that back, just the 2018 version. So my first two videos were a new rap tip, part one and part two, stop rapping over your vocals. and then I did the Mightier Than the Sword sampler. And normally, you know, we'll do a sampler and it'd just be the songs playing or whatever. But I kind of just walked people through it myself and just played little pieces of some of the songs and just did it that way, just to try to put a little different angle to it. So, yeah, I'm going to be all over the place on my YouTube channel, man. You might catch me playing basketball or whatever, you know. So, just y'all just make sure y'all subscribe and check me out, man.
Matter of fact, to be honest with you,
the next thing that I'm going to do is probably going to be a Q&A. I'll do a Q&A where I'll probably take questions on Facebook or somewhere along those lines, and then I'll do a Q&A where I answer the questions on the YouTube. That'll probably be one of the things I do before the week is over with.
Oh, that's dope as hell, man. And you said the last one you did was rappers like performing at concerts. I believe I caught this, or at least pieces of it, where they actually rap over the song rather than just rap to the beat, you know, live. You know, say, take away, explain to our audience, you know what I'm saying, how that takes away from the experience of, you know, going to see your favorite artist at a show.
Yeah, several ways that it does, because when you go to a show, you expect to hear that artist actually perform those songs live, to spit those lyrics, to sing those melodies live, to get a chance to see if that individual artist is really as talented as the mix and the master made them sound on the actual record. So for me, it was always a disappointment to go listen to, because everybody, you know, thinks that it's just underground or no, it's mainstream guys. You go to a big show and this guy is rapping over his vocals and you can still hear the actual song playing. Basically, they just played the actual song underneath it. So that takes away, because I could have jammed that on the way to the show. You see what I'm saying? So my thing is, if you really want to impress the audience or impress me, or just give people the understanding that you actually care and you actually want to give the best for them, man, you got to spit them vocals, man. You got to drop them. And a lot of people have varying opinions on that subject, because the defenses are, well, man, look, if I'm on a tour and I'm doing 25, 30 cities and every night I'm in a different city, you know, that's a strain on my voice, man, so I need those vocals under that to kind of bolster. I get all that, but, man, you know, I'm just from a different school of thought. You know, I'm from a school of thought that it's certain songs that if just say if I got a song where I'm spitting live and I'm just rapid fire, rapid fire spitting, tongue twisting type of lyrics, man, people want to see if you can do that for real. You see what I'm saying? They want to really know if you can get up there and do that. And when you do it, from my experience, when you hit those tongue twists and those multi-syllable flows like that, man, they love it. The people love it, man. They respect it. And like I said on the video, you have parts of the world, man, that would just, you know, just destroy you if you get on the stage doing that, man. They'll run you out of the country, man, because it's not real rap. You're not really rapping. Mm-hmm. And the thing I've been seeing more prevalent, worse than that, I'm actually starting to see rappers lip syncing like singers do, and that's really a violation.
Man.
You know, yeah, man. Yeah,
Billy
it's like
shit,
actually
man.
Standing on stage, moving their lips while the song is playing, and that's like the ultimate disrespect to the audience. So
yeah.
I'm just trying to shut it down, man.
I mean, you might as well just take a picture and print out a life size poster of the artist and just hit play in your CD player, because that's the same experience.
Yeah,
that's crazy. It's almost like,
and people are spending their money, man.
No,
that's the issue. People are spending their money, and so you pay $25, $50, $100, whatever the price of the ticket is, and you come to see this guy or this girl who may be your favorite or one of your favorite artists. And that's what you get for your money, man. I just can't do it. Now, of course, you know, there are adjustments that could be made to it. Like if you leave the hooks in and you leave maybe some ad-libs in, that's fine. I don't really take issue with that. But the other 95 or 96% of that performance needs to be your actual voice spitting them lyrics, man, going hard in the paint.
Yeah, I agree. You got, you know, you're spending that good money. You want to be able to get an actual live show. You're not going to go to a stand-up comedian and just watch him sit on his stool while he presses play with a show tape.
Exactly.
And speaking at a different event. You know?
Exactly.
So I feel you on that. This YouTube page is a great idea, Kay, and I think you know, we live in a day and age now where so much technology, there's so many different ways to reach people. I think this could definitely help open up the horizons a little bit more for you, man. And I think you're doing.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. It's something that I should have done years ago, you know, just to be honest with you. I should have done it years ago. But what I did was within the last year, I was kind of just studying it to kind of fill out how I wanted mine to go and how I wanted my channel to go. And I studied a lot of the popular YouTubers that are out, you know, that everybody are into right now, the younger YouTubers. And of course, I'm not going to try to do what they do. I mean, that's not my lane. But elements of what they do in terms of just opening myself up to showing people, you know, my everyday life and all that, my personality here and there, I will kind of take that aspect of it. And then, you know, I had Willie D on my radio show a couple of weeks back, and of course he has his YouTube channel up, Willie D Live, and all that. And after we did the radio show, we went and hung out, and he gave me a lot of good advice on the YouTube game, and then just other aspects of the business that kind of, you know, motivated me and tips to keep me, to get me going and get popping. So shout out to the OG Willie D.
Yeah, Willie D, he's been doing that for a minute, and he definitely, every once in a while, you'll see that dude pop up, like, on some, you know, USA Today or something with some comment about Charles Barkley, or, you know, I love how he goes right for the throats, and,
right.
You know, shout out to him, man, that dude, he's still
no
controversial 30 years later.
No doubt.
But, You just mentioned the radio show. I definitely want to talk about that as well. K-Reno Radio. Is this something that's exclusively online, or is this something that's like an AM/FM station?
Well, it's at an FM station, but my show is online. And what happened was, in the beginning, the program director basically just told me, "Hey, man, what we're gonna do is we're just gonna give you a trial run on the internet, see how things go, and if things go well, then at some point we'll transfer you over to the FM," which is you know, the jury's still out on that. I got to check on that to see where I'm at, because I'm probably about 3 months in now. So, which was fine, you know. I mean, I'm a rookie. If I come in the game as a rookie, I got to pay my dues like a rookie. So I didn't take any issue with that, of course. So, but at some point, I would like to, you know, get over to the FM and, you know, get a bigger platform to do my thing. But, you know, of course, I'm a humble myself. I'm just grateful to have a platform. So it's all good.
Yeah, and I love it too, because, you know, I see some footage. You know, shout out to Murder One that he took. You know, Face was in the studio with a dog. He was holding a dog while you're interviewing him. It's crazy. Tell everybody about, you know, I mean, you know Face. You've known these guys, you know, obviously for a while. But what's it like chopping it up with him, you know what I'm saying, in an interview setting rather than, you know, just bumping into him in Houston?
Oh, man, it's really the same. He's the same guy. Whether you, like you say, in an interview setting or whether you just happen to see him in Walmart somewhere, he's the same guy, man. Face don't change. It's like, where did he don't change? So that conversation is just going to be a real conversation. That's exactly what it is. So, nah, I mean, the main thing I get from guys like that are just the wisdom, the insight, because, you know, I'm a guy who's been in the game 30-plus years. Those guys have been in the game 30-plus years, but the difference is that they have flown at higher altitudes in this industry than I have. So there's things that they can impart and the game that they can give that even I don't have the ability to speak on. So I get a chance when I'm around a Face, when I'm around a Willie D and individuals, and when I was around Wicked Cricket, you know, before he passed, those are my opportunities to learn, to be a student, you know, as opposed to being the guy who normally people come to when they want to get some games. So, I mean, that's what I gather from it more than anything. And the second thing would probably be just, you know, just to cherish the experience of being around guys who I consider to be icons and legends, you know, and are underrated in hip-hop, in my opinion. You know, Willie D is criminally underrated when it comes to just the industry on a whole. You know, Face is underrated, but Face still gets a little more props, you know. But these are guys who are greatly responsible for the industry, the hip-hop game being what it is today, and have put their imprint and their stamp on the game in a way that had guys like them never been born, the game would be different. And that's a fact. Just in my opinion. Yeah. It's a fact in my opinion.
Hey, I agree with you 100%, man. To this day, my favorite album still is Ghetto Boys 1990. I just think that the production that Red had on that album was so clean, and then you had Rick Rubin in there working with him, and the vocals were just amazing. I mean, Bushwick was telling everybody to fuck off loud and clear. You know, I mean, it was just a great masterpiece of an album, and I think it should always be in the top 10. And you never really hear about that album. People always go back to the We Can't Be Stopped, which was another great record. You know, but to me, I think that was just the best Ghetto Boys album. You know, but
Grip It was my favorite. But the thing that people don't understand what contributes to those albums and albums being that great and being that raw is having the freedom to actually do it the way you want to do it. That's the first step to that. If you are in handcuffs by a label or by whatever situation may be in place that prevents you from expressing yourself unfiltered, then you're not going to maximize as an artist, because you're going to always have that mentality like when even in your creative process you're sitting down thinking, well, okay, I want to say this, but, man, I know they're not going to let this go through. I know the label, they're going to shut me down. They're going to tell me to change this. So when you got a label like Rap-A-Lot that comes along and it's like, hey, if it's jamming, we putting it out. We don't care how raw it is. If you assign Nip, you see what I'm saying? At that time, I mean, that's the ultimate for artists to get the confidence of knowing that I'm on a record label that gives me 1,000% creative freedom, and you're going to max out. You're going to max out when you got there. So I think when you look at those Ghetto Boys albums, Gangsta Nip, Big Mello, all that is a credit to Jay Prince and Rap-A-Lot and having that mentality of like, we're going to do it the way we want to do it, and we don't care if you like it or not.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, man, I'm looking forward to the 26th of this month, and our listeners will be too. We're having a Making Trouble 30th anniversary show with Bob, Johnny C, Reddy Red, and hopefully if one of us can get Bushwick on the line. You know, we're all trying to get a hold of Bushwick because, you know, he was the dancer at the time, but still he was a huge part of the group, you know.
Well, I'll see if I can help you with that because I know a couple of people that may have a contact on him. So I'll definitely do everything I can to try to, you know, fill that void, man, you know, see if we can get in touch with him.
That's going to be dope. We had him on episode 400 on a whim. DJ Paul and him, you know what I'm saying, and it was crazy just chopping it up. And then we had another episode with Reddy Red and Bushwick chopping it up together. You know, that's the stuff that's legendary that we didn't get to hear as kids because you never really saw nothing like it. If you want to see an interview with the Ghetto Boys, you know what I'm saying, before they really hit the MTV Raps and stuff, you had to buy that video Luke put out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I forget what it was called, but, you know, back in the day, it was so hard to see the stuff. Now you can see it instantly, you know.
Well, you're talking about pre-social media, yeah, and that's what it is. Before social media, we had to wait, to, like you say, to catch it on your MTV Rap and hope that your favorite artist would end up on your. And see, that's another thing. See, when the Ghetto Boys finally made it to Rap City and Yo MTV Raps, and man, that was a badge that we all wore on our chest. You know, we all sat at home. I can just remember me and Dopey and all of us. We would sit and watch those episodes, and our chest was stuck out with pride because it's like, man, them our dudes up there. You know, those are guys that we actually know. You know what I'm saying? That's up there, sitting up there with Fab Five Freddy and Joe Clare and all those guys, and representing for the city of Houston, but not just the city of Houston. They was also representing for the whole southern region, because at that time, it wasn't just a billion southern artists out in the industry like it is right now. At that time, it was really, they were probably the only ones. You know, you could probably, if you say Luke, and but I'm thinking about, like, on the Texas side of the game, man, we didn't have nobody. So, you know, we all wore that badge of pride on our chest when we saw Face and Will and all those guys on the big stage.
Yeah, that was amazing. I remember seeing, I think 3-2 was on one of them. They had Too Much Trouble, maybe. There was a whole bunch of rap artists on there. So, you know, that was dope to see. You know what I'm saying? You know, just a little bit over, I'm going to go into a song, but before I do, just a little bit over a year and a half ago, you dropped 7 albums on one day, which is an amazing thing. Never been done before. No one's done it since. What are you dropping 10, K?
Well, I'm going to see. I'm going to drop 10 at one time, either in tonight's dream or tomorrow night's dream. But in reality, man, I mean, I tell people all the time, man, when I first made the 7, and people would say, "But man, what if somebody come along and do 8 or 9? My comment is they can have it. Because even if somebody does 8 or does 9 or does 10, I know I was the first one to do 7, to do it the way I did it. So I don't have any type of I'm not in a competition. I'm not competing with anybody. I mean, I'm thankful that I was able to do it, but I'm more thankful that people received it well, and thankful also that I was able to do it on a level where the song quality and the content was on point, not just a bunch of albums with a bunch of songs and just wasteful album fillers. You know, every song I put my all into it. So that's what I'm more proud of than anything about the 7.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. 7 high quality, you know, much substance, concepts. I mean, definitely. Each album on its own can stand up in your catalog against the other albums. You know what I'm saying? And that's a lot for somebody to do that at one time. You know what I'm saying? So, but no, the reason I said that in the beginning of the show, just joking, I was like, I think the only guy that could top K Reno was K Reno. You know what I'm saying? Logically.
Well,
I mean,
I'm going to give a shout out. I'll give a quick shout out to Minister Farrakhan, because he just released a box set. You know, Minister Farrakhan, for people who don't know, is a master violinist. He's been playing violin since he was a little boy, and he just released a project with 7 albums.
7 albums.
He released a 7 CD set, and he's got features from, man, pretty much anybody who's anybody in the industry, from Snoop Dogg to Rick Ross, and just Stephanie Mills, singers, musicians, you know, and he has a 7 CD box set. So, you know, just the fact,
and he
not saying the minister, huh? Yeah, the minister's next month, Minister Farrakhan will be 85 next month.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know, he moves around like he's a teenager, so you know, that's attributed to, you know, eating to live and being a spiritual godly man. But yeah, he definitely just dropped a quality box set. Just the packaging of his box set is so extraordinary. It's beautiful, man. I don't have it yet, but I saw it online, but I will be getting my shout out, man, of course, to Mr. Farrakhan. And and you know, if you get my 7, you got to get his too, because I haven't even heard it, but I know it's going to be dope.
Yeah, and it's cool how he collaborated. You said he collaborated with various artists and stuff like that too. So, yeah, 7 albums. Wow. So you got someone who tied you. That's cool. And I'm pretty sure that you're not mad at Mr. Farrakhan.
I did not at all. I mean, he's my inspiration. You know, at the end of the day, I draw so much inspiration from him. In my music, just to do some of the music I make comes from things that I've learned just from listening to him. So at the end of the day, man, I'm just grateful. I'm just thankful. You know, God is great, man. I'm very thankful, and I would want anybody to support the minister. You know, absolutely.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because I love I show my dad some of his speeches and stuff. I love the fact that he's not afraid to stand up to the Rothschilds and all the people, the power brokers that are pressing all the buttons, you know. So anybody that does that, they definitely got my salute, man. So hell yeah, man. Let's go off into this track. I played the first one, Need to Know, which was a phenomenal joint. This one here is Tell on 'Em, man. I'm gonna let you intro this one, Kate, then we'll come back and chop it up.
Yeah, man. This song is basically just a song that's in the same DNA of the Grand Deception, No Redemption, Hidden Agenda. There's a lot of songs I've done in the past where I'm just kind of just breaking down what's going on in the world and exposing a lot of stuff. So it's called Telling on 'Em, because that's what we're doing. We're just telling on 'Em.
Definitely. We'll be right back. Chop it up with Kay and take a caller or two. You know what I'm saying? Don't go nowhere. I was telling people, just about 7 years to the day, 6 years to the day, we had you on episode 1. Now we're already at 519, man. So
wow,
it's an honor
crazy.
To be back here with you all these years later, man, still doing it. So we'll be right back with Kay Reno.
Gloves come off. You can't stand on the sideline in this fight. Innocent bystanders get their heads blown off. Let's go. Yeah. Make no mistake, we don't hate, we are the victims of it. Hatred next to love, if it's your choice, hatred gets kicked above it. You know all we want is justice, that's how come you trick the public. Cause it's something you don't wanna give us, so you switch the subject. Well, we might as well go ahead and make you mad, or since you're mad. You lied and made a protest about the flag, cause your intention's bad. But since you wanna mention flag, okay, yeah, let's mention flag. The same ones you lynch black people under with your lynching ass. Stand for what, y'all let the military implement that trash. NFL did that for the cash, bastards took the flag. Salute Minister Farrakhan, he showed us the flag code. It's disrespect to lay it flat or even wear it as clothes. Every move made is to put us behind those steel bars. Shady media misleading you about the real cause. Check the Reconstruction era, then go look up Jim Crow. Black poverty was planned, but you never hear that from them though. So give us faulty education, oppressors deny us jobs. Then act like you don't know why we broke, hungry, and why we robbed. Trying to fill them prisons up and max out the volume. Crime at the top is the reason for crime at the bottom. Every mass murder occurrence, you tag a Muslim with it. Till you find out a gun packing militia Christian did it. Pissed off at the government and thought that was the right step. Or flipped and shot a cottage campus up because his wife left. These damn savage is like death. What they do is irreparable. So how come everybody is a terrorist except for you? Chemicals and damn to everything we drink and eat up. They know you love me, so they amping the THC up. And I ain't even got the trouble. You saying this man is human. Who the hell you fooling? Your staff look like a Klan reunion. Take it how you choose, but voting won't get us out of this. And you's a damn fool if you think our ancestors died for this. This is what the coons and the racists can't stomach. They cringe from it. I can already see the comments. They know the facts, but they deflected and start fights. Following Tommy Lawrence, stupid ass in the alt-right. But who's the real life slaughterers of a culture? The vultures responsible for the massacre in Tulsa. Independence, we had it, but a short time it lasted. And I'm still flashing back to Emmett Till's open casket. You mad cause they don't acknowledge your right for open carrying. That's only cause you running around thinking you an American. Double standards disparaging. Your government's a crook for certain. Draft sergeant president, he lied and said his foot was hurting. Always got a blanket to cover him up when he exposed. And feed you the distractions of drugs, liquor, and TV shows. Instagram, Facebook, sports, music, and freaky shows. World falling around us and our eyes are completely closed. The heat's coming, you can't fight them flames. You so conditioned now that you actually like them chains. Zionists using their powers to influence the whole. Scary black organizations under Jewish control. False flagging just to see how the people respond. You want to murder black students, get those teachers a gun. Won't be long till the universal mystery straight. Lies take the place of truth now in history's hate.
We're back in the Murder Mansion Music Show. That's got me amped up because, you know what I'm saying, I already know the whole album's going to be phenomenal, and that's coming out real soon. You can pre-order at southparkcoalition.net. Mightier Than the Sword. Let's talk a little bit about this album, Kate. How many tracks are on it, and who did the production?
Yeah, man, we got 18 on this one, and that's crazy because when I first started working on the album, I was 100% certain that I was only going to put 14 tracks on. I was like, man, I ain't doing but 14. But I kept getting ideas, kept getting more and more inspiration, and I ended up with 18, and I thought I was going to actually have to leave some off, but everything ended up fitting on there. But we got tracks from a lot of the guys that I've been working with over the past few years, like More Time, DJ Crew, Cinema Beats, and Bobby Rucker, Sniper, and DJ Lazo. So, and a homie of mine from Ace Town named Slow Life, and you know, I've been working with him for a few years, and he shot me a beat about a year ago, and I was just sitting on it because I knew I was going to use it. But I just didn't know when. So, you know, shout out to Slow Life. The production is really good on this project, man. You know, I've always been a guy who got criticized for my production over the years, but
I don't know why. I mean, I always thought you had dope production. You know.
Well, I think what happens is that a lot of people get so used to the mainstream industry production that they hear on the radio all the time. So if you come along and you're doing something different that's not sounding like the same music that they get used to hearing on the radio all the time, then the first thing that they'll say is, well, you need better production. You know, your beats ain't all that. When in reality, an artist's production, in my opinion, have always been just an extension, you know, of their own mind, because the music and the lyrics have to coincide, and that's not, no disrespect to the fans, but that's not the fans' place to determine that, whether it coincides. It's that artist's place, and you have the choice as a fan to say, okay, I'm rocking with this or I'm not. So
Yeah, exactly, because you're the one that has to come up with the concepts, and especially if you're a conceptual artist, you know what I'm saying, we actually put time into your craft and into your wordplay and everything, you know. But I guess it's okay if you're a mumble rapper, you could just get on anything and you know, for 2 minutes. Yeah, you're definitely one of the guys that's holding up for the lyricism in the game, and I really salute you for that, Kate. Especially now, we're living in a time where lyrics are kind of taking a backseat to trends and goofy fashion and drugs. I mean, really, they're pushing right now. It looks like a death culture, because it's like it's making it cool for kids to pop pills and things of that nature. And I don't see how that's considered hip hop. But then again, that's the mainstream. So. That's something I avoid at all costs.
Without a doubt, that's a decision, that's a call that's made from a higher seat. Not necessarily the artists themselves seeking to push that type of content, even though they do, but they are getting more motivated to push that kind of content because the labels are advancing that particular push. So it's like, this is the type of stuff that we're signing. Yeah, this is what we're signing. So in order for you to get in, this is your best chance, is to actually make this kind of music. And that may not even be the kind of person that artist. It's like when gangster rap was more prevalent than anything. You had all these studio gangsters out here. You had people who grew up in the suburbs rapping about busting guns and robbing and jacking people. Not because that's how they really live, but because it was a business move to try to say, I'm gonna make this kind of music because this is what's in right now. But like you say, the only problem with that is it creates a death culture. And in creating that death culture, we don't take sight of that because we focus on how much money we gonna make off of it. And we valuing the money over the life of the people and these young kids that are listening to these music and feeling like these artists are a Superman, a Superwoman, and in reality they're influencing you to go out and do the things that they're not even doing themselves.
Yeah, exactly. It's a crazy, crazy day and age we're living in. Not just musically. I mean, we can go into politics and everything. Because stuff is really messed up right now. But we'll save that for another show. We actually have a Dope E coming on this Sunday. I want to promote this real quick before we bring on a caller.
Wow.
He's got a little show over here called Boot Up or Shut Up, and he comes on. And for 3 hours from 7 to 10 p.m. on every first and second Sunday of the month, he comes on and just schools people. So check that out, if you want to tune into that. That'll be this Sunday, 9 p.m. But we have the homie Sim from France. I know he's always got plenty of questions for you. I know he's a huge fan. How you doing, Sim?
Yes, sir. What's up, Scott? What's up, Carino?
Man, my God, how you doing, my brother?
Yeah. Yes, sir, I'm fine, bro. Yeah, can you tell us about the Black Book we've seen on most of your covers, since stories from the Black Book, of Dungeon Zone, No Mercy, Fear No Evil, Book Number 7, and finally, Matches and the Sword, and the importance of this Black Book on the cover?
Well, it goes back just to my... beginning days of writing. I carried around just a regular binder that in the beginning was for schoolwork. So when I started writing lyrics, it ended up being more rap lyrics in my folder than it was schoolwork. So I went from carrying 5 or 6 binders a day for each class to actually only carrying one. So I got all these different classes, but I'm just carrying one folder, and it was no schoolwork in the folder. I would do my schoolwork just on loose sheets of paper and just turn it in or whatever. So when I got out of school and started to actually make records, when it was time to do the album covers or whatever, just on an impulse, I was like, I carry this thing around with me everywhere I go anyway. So I was like, hold up. And I went and grabbed my folder and started taking pictures with my phone in my hand, and it just stuck. So every album, the majority of the albums, you're going to see me on the cover. Not all of them, but the majority of them, you'll see me on the cover holding the black book.
Yeah. How came the idea of the cover, of the stories of the black book? It was a really, really great cover on the first album.
Right, right. Well, what that was, I've always been like a big, heavy sci-fi guy, science fiction fan, and the way I rap a lot of times is more, you know, intergalactic science fiction type of style. It's always in the stratosphere, always in space and all that. So when I did my first album, I wanted to have a cover that kind of reflected that, and that was a company out here that did all album covers. They were called Pen and Pixel.
Yes.
The graphic
Pen company. And Pixel Graphics, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right, and they, you know, of course, if you know them, they were responsible for, like, anything that came out of the South, you know. And I did my first album with them, and I remember sitting down at the table with them, and they had, like, the little book where you flip through the book and kind of pick out your backgrounds and all that. And I just came up with the idea of, like, okay, can you take me out of this little brick little entrance thing I'm standing in? Can you remove that and stick it in space? And they were able to do that. So that's how that concept came up.
Yeah. And on the Dungeon Zone also, can you tell us about the Jeep song Two Roads? For me, one of your best songs with Illusions.
Yeah, man. Two Roads is actually a song that my dad gave me the concept to that. And it was just like, okay, if you out here in these streets, the only options you got in the long run are either go to jail or die. You know, those are the two roads. There's no happy ending to that. So he was telling me something one time. He said, two people you have to cherish the two most important people in the world are children and old people. And he said the reason why is because you can learn from old people and children can learn from you. So I incorporated that line in the song Two Roads, and you know, that became, like, you know, a popular song at that time because of just the everyday life advice that I was given. Illusions came from a sample, you know, because we're talking about the mid-90s. Everybody was sampling. So we would go anywhere just trying to find vinyl, dig through that old vinyl to try to find a loop, a dope loop that we could use and make into a song. And I can't remember where that sample came from, but I remember that the original version of that sample is actually slower, way slower than the way I use it. I sped it up, and when I heard the beat, it just sounded, you know, mystical. It sounded like something, you know, of that nature. Yeah. So I came up with the Illusions concept, and it turned out another song that turned out to be one of my most spoken of songs. Even to this day, people like make an Illusions Part 2 and all that. So it's crazy how all that come together.
You put both of those tracks on a CD single, if I'm not mistaken, didn't you?
Right. We did a CD single, I think, for promotional purposes around that time, because really those two songs were the songs we felt at the time that we could push. You know,
yeah.
Whether we was right or wrong, we don't know, but we felt like, okay, these are the two that we could really push, and on those CD singles, we would actually just ride around, just giving those away, you know. And it's funny because about one day last year, I can't remember when it was, but it was within 12 months, somebody had a copy of one of those old CD singles, the very ones y'all talking about. Somebody showed it. I was like, man, I haven't seen one of these probably in 20 years. But somebody actually still had a copy. It was in good condition too.
Yeah, I remember you and your dad sent me a couple of them. I wish I had kept them or didn't lose them, because I know they're collector's items right now. You know, But yeah, a lot of your CDs, the originals, you go on eBay, you know, $100, $50. You ever thought of maybe repressing some of those? I think you repressed Stories from the Black Book, didn't you?
Right. Yeah. I did. And we were considering redoing Danger Zone. And it's still, you know, that thought is still on the table. But what has to happen now is we have to make sure that it makes business sense, makes good business sense to do that, you know, because if we were able to kind of just, you know, test the market and see, okay, you know, who would be down to get a re-release of Danger Zone, and if we could kind of get a feel for that, then we would do it. But, yeah, man, I mean, I'd like at some point for anything that I ran through Southwest Wholesale, you know, from Story from the Black Book to Danger Zone to No Mercy, I think those were the three solos I ran through Southwest Wholesale. I'd love to either re-release those as individuals or even in a package. You know, you do a double CD set with Danger Zone and No Mercy together, you know, and just do it like that.
Yeah, people, I think, you know what I'm saying, people would buy that for sure. I know there's probably a lot of your fans, you know what I'm saying, that, like myself, you know, we ain't going to pay $100 for it, but God damn, we want that CD. You know what
Right. And again, you know, to maybe add some new stuff on there as an incentive. Just, you know, you know, because I'm gonna do another best of CD probably 40 years old with, do like a best of, and the thing to do that is, you know, you got loyal fans who already have all your stuff anyway, but you add about 4 exclusives on there that'll only be available on that project, and then you add it to that. So that way, the only way to get those new songs is to purchase the set.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a real good idea. You know what I'm saying? Well, we're coming up in the end of the hour. I want to make sure, Kay, to give you the platform. I want to thank you. It's always an honor to have you on the show. Man, thank you for coming through tonight. And, man, give them all your info. I know you got a lot of it, man. The floor is yours, brother.
Oh, man. First of all, man, I appreciate you for always bringing me on, man. I appreciate the love and the support. And it's always a big honor for me and a boost for me to come and be a part of a show that really, really, really respects the game and respects the underground. So I appreciate you, homie. As far as reaching me, you can always follow me on Twitter at TheRealKReno. My YouTube channel is TheRealKReno. So go, make sure you go on YouTube and subscribe. And Facebook, you can always hit me on Facebook. But to order the album, to order my new album, Mightier Than the Sword, and all my stuff, all my back catalog, you go to southparkcoalition.net. And that's South Park, like the cartoon, coalition.net. And just click Music Store, and you can pre-order the new one and purchase all the old ones, along with Murder One stuff and Rapper K stuff and everybody else.